but they're there. So, welcome this morning. Talking about things to remember. Remember to pray for folks this week. Remember Randy as he starts health class and a group of kids. And, you know, our memory is not what it used to be sometimes. Some of us have it. Some of us are losing it. Joni and I sometimes, I'll be in my office doing something. She'll come in and say something, and it won't register, you know. And I'll go in. Did you come into my office and say something? She said, I think so. I say, well, what was it? And she'll say, I don't remember. So, it kind of goes back and forth all day like that. We don't remember. So, you know, you lose things and all that, and our memories are kind of going, but. You know, memories are a lot of them are good, some of them not so good. You know, memories that we have, you know, need to hold on to the good ones. Hold on to the good ones, the memories of accomplishments and playing with kids and, you know, playing with grandchildren or grandparents or your own parents. You know, you had a great vacation, you know. A lot of you have been on vacation to Niagara Falls and Branson and different places, you know. You remember the great vacations you had, you know, or had a good meal. Went out with friends and had a great meal someplace, or just with friends, you know, being with friends, doing different things together. And then the experiences with God, definitely hold on to those. You know, each day can be an experience with God. Hold on to them and enjoy them over and over again. And that's what brings you joy. And that's the one thing they have all in common. They bring you joy. And that's what God wants to provide. He wants to provide an abundant life. An abundant life is filled with joy. Now, what about the bad memories? You know, we all have some of those. We all have failures. We have sorrows. We have the pains, the hurt feelings, the disappointments, the things that aren't what they used to be. You know, a lot of things aren't what they used to be that bother us. But why would you want to choose to hold on to them? You know, they're not going to help. You know, holding onto them just brings back the pain and the sorrow and the hurt feelings and the disappointments. So why would you want those to remain unless you just happen to like bitterness and sorrow? If you like it, hang on to them. They'll provide you the ammunition you need to stay with that attitude. But if you let them go, you'll have more of the joy that the Lord wants you to have. You know, the past is the past. You know, it's gone. You can't go back. You can't change it. You can't even experience the same thing exactly again the way it was. You may come close in some cases, but it's not going to be exactly the same. Whether you want to or not, you know, they're not going to be the same. You miss the good times, but why do we want to recall the bad times? You know, why do we do that? You know, in the past, even, you know, in our life, you know, it might have been popular, or you might have been noteworthy, or it could have been aggravating, or it could have been hurtful. It doesn't really matter, because you got to move on. You can't live in the past. You got to move forward. You know, the past, one of the biggest things is there for is to train us for now. Train us for the present. Train us for the future. That's what the past is for. It's experience that gives us to proceed forward, to live a better life, to live for God, what God wants us to do. We're going to read Philippians 3, 7 through 14 this morning. Probably wasn't in there not that long ago, but I want to touch base with it again this morning. Philippians 3, 7 through 14. It says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider, this is Paul, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining for what is ahead, I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So Paul said, you know, the past, you know, what I have been good, what I have been bad, it doesn't matter anymore. It's gone. It's who I am now and who I strive to be in Christ. The past, God doesn't hold the past. People may, but God doesn't. He's moving forward. It's where you are now and where you want to be in Him. Because whatever you did in the past, if you might have been great, it can't make you righteous in Christ. But if you've been bad, it can't keep you from Christ either. Okay, the grace He offers in being counted righteous in Him. So your past doesn't make a difference on your righteousness. That's only through Christ. You can't obtain it yourself, and it doesn't keep you from getting it, no matter how bad you've been or what you've done. You know, I said, but the one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining for what's ahead. You know, He didn't dwell on the past. You know, he was a notable person. You know, he did in the world's eyes a lot of great things. You know, he was a Pharisee. He was the best, one of the best ones. You know, he knew all the stuff. He was zealous for his work. And then we know he persecuted Christians. He hunted them down. He killed them. But he's saying that's gone. That's over with. He said, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining for what is ahead. And that's what we have to do. You know, we got to press onward to win the prize for which God has called me. And we've talked about the race and the Olympics before, and you know, if you turn to look back to see what's behind you, you lose ground. You know, you lose out on the prize. It slows you down. It takes away your momentum. You know, there are plenty of examples in the Bible. You know, Lot's wife, she was even warned, don't look back. You're going to a new place. It's a new thing. She couldn't do it. She looked back. Looked back to the past, and it didn't go well. She lost out. She lost out on the blessings that God had for her. Looking back makes us ineffective for what God wants us to do and who He wants us to be. And with that, we're unable to experience the joys of what God has for us, the blessings He has for us. Now, one comment was that it's been said, when the past is quarreling with the present, there can be no future. When the past is quarreling with the present, there could be no future. You know, after we learn some possibly tough lessons, we need to quit living there. You know, learn the lesson, use it, and move on. You know, we got to grow. If you're stuck in the past, you're not growing. The now is important. The now guides us to the future. And for spiritual renewal to take place, we need to let go of what was in the past so we can live and take hold of the present and plan our future, see what God would have us to do. If we're so stuck and bogged down in the past, then the present's miserable. And the future's already been decided because we chose to be miserable. We're missing out. Not letting go affects everything we're doing and will do. It's our mindset. A woman was on her way to work one day on the train or the subway and had a chance to encounter with another woman who she'd gone to high school with years ago. And they had once been good friends but had lost touch and their lives had taken them in different directions. And But they were so pleased to renew their contact that they agreed to meet at a coffee shop after work to catch up. Well, they became so engrossed in their reunion, you know, got to talking and everything, that they lost track of time. Suddenly realized that they were long past the times their husbands were expecting them to be home. Well, they promised to call each other the next day, and then they rushed home to their waiting husbands. Well, the next day, when they spoke on the phone, one of the women said, "Was your husband angry that you were so late coming home?" She said, "Not at all," her friend replied. "I told him how I had run into you, and that we were so happy to be reconnected that we had got carried away and had forgotten about the time. He was cool with that. How about your husband?" She said, "Well, my husband was so upset he was historical." She said, "Well, I think you mean hysterical, don't you?" She said, "No, I mean historical. He brought everything I've done that annoyed him for the past 12 years. You ever have arguments like that? Ever have where past things long forgotten because they'd been forgiven, come back to life, come back to the surface? Have you ever been in a historical argument? You know, it's the bitterness you never let go of. That's deep in your heart, that's still working in your life. You know, sometimes looking back, it sees us revert to our former selves. You know, the old sins crop back up again because we never let go of it in the first place. Why? Satan loves to dredge up the past. He loves to bring it up. Your failures or your issues with others, or whatever it is, arguments you had with other people. He loves to bring it up. Loves to keep your mind on it. Keeps your eyes off the prize. You get sidetracked on your race. Lose sight of the prize. Moves you away from God's plan in your life. From being who God wants you to be in His kingdom. Now, we can't change the past. We can't change our past actions. We all make mistakes. No one's righteous. No, not one. We can't change how others respond either. We can't change how others act in certain ways. Just because they're different from ours. What we can change is our attitude. That's our choice. Our attitude's our choice. Hate and love aren't as much... They're feelings, don't get me wrong, but they're not so much about feelings as they are choices. You can make a choice to love someone. You can make a choice to hate someone. That's up to you. But we can let those choices just permeate our body. It affects our body, mind, and soul. It affects every bit of us. Affects our soul, our relationship with Christ. Affects our mind. We get our mind thinking of other things. Our body, it literally breaks it down into physical illnesses. If we let hate go by, if we stick to the love part of it, we got a much better chance. But it breaks our whole body down. And we can let it do that or not. Not feeling like loving, that's your choice. You have that choice to make. You can be bitter. You can be angry. But bear in mind, it's not all about you. You know, your attitude affects all those around you as well. It's just not you. You can't hide it all the time, no matter how hard you try. It rears its ugly head sometimes. Maybe an action might be just a comment. But it comes out and affects those around you. So you can go ahead, you can share the misery with everyone you're around. Or you can opt for love. If you opt for love, that's great. You can enjoy the blessings of obedience to God. You can enjoy those around you, the relationship of those around you. But remember, love doesn't keep a scorecard. Does it measure rights and wrongs? You know, you can't keep the historical version when you disagree with somebody, because love doesn't keep that scorecard. That isn't true love or forgiveness to yourself. If you can't forgive yourself or to others, either way, it's not true forgiveness, genuine. God doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't throw someone away because of sin. We shouldn't either. Everyone should matter. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You can wallow in the wilderness. I don't know that any of us haven't been there. But you can wallow in the wilderness, wallow in the wasteland. But God's making a way. He wants a new way for you to be in. Christ is about new hope, new beginnings. You were born again to be changed, not to be what you were. You know, Saul was transformed into a new creation and given a new name, Paul. You know, his past didn't matter. His future does. His present and his future does. He was created to do good works for the Lord. He was born again. He was changed. You know, even talking about David, as we study, if you look in 1 Samuel, you know, Saul was anointed king, a good guy, King Saul. Then became disobedient along the way. You know, kind of got full of himself and took things on his own that Samuel was supposed to do. Didn't obey what God told him to do. You know, he kind of got a filling of himself. And did evil things. And Samuel was a friend. Samuel had anointed him king when he was younger. And Samuel was, it says Samuel was mourning him. I think he was mourning him that God picked somebody else to be king. And God was mourning him because of the disappointment in what he had done. And the evil that he had done. And so Samuel was mourning. But, you know, God says... God asked him, says, Samuel, how long are you going to go on with this? You know, how long are you going to do this? And he says, it's over. You know, well, you need to move on. He said, Saul decided not to be obedient, so I'm not going to use him anymore. I'm going to use somebody new, and I want you to go anoint them. There's going to be a new vessel to do the work that I have. Because he chose not to do it. He chose not to be obedient. He chose himself. God wants one who will be obedient to what he calls us to do. Someone else will be blessed if we don't want to do it. Not the one who lives in the past and rejects God's commandments. They won't be blessed. God will choose somebody else to get the blessings he wanted you to have. Someone will do what he wants you to do. Not the one who willfully chooses to let Satan have dominion over their heart instead of the Heavenly Father. Because that's what we do. We're going to have an invitation in a minute. Finish up with a couple of verses here. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. That's how you do it. It's your choice of the thoughts of your mind. You know, where are they? What do you think about? Do you dwell on things that you failed at? Do you dwell on things where other people made you upset, made you mad? If you dwell on those things, that's what's going to affect you. He said, don't dwell on those things. Dwell on the things of God. Dwell on the things that are noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. You know, do what you can do to make things better. When you see a person, what are your thoughts? Are they good or evil? Just, you know, maybe it's somebody that you feel did you wrong. So do you think evil thoughts? Or do you think good thoughts? Does God have the influence or does Satan have the influence on your thoughts? You might say, well, I don't like them. I don't like what they do. Or we can go, please God, help my attitude and my spirit to look for the good in everything. And to put it into practice. To use it. To be like you. Ephesians 4:30-32. Says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You know, it doesn't say if you want to. He says get rid of it. Throw it out. It's garbage. Get rid of it. Why would you let it sit around, start stinking and all of that? Get rid of it. Don't hold it. You know, and he says, you know, forgiving's forgiving. You all know if you don't forgive somebody, you're not going to get forgiven. It's as simple as that. You get what you give sometimes. But it takes complete, genuine forgiveness to forget. Forgiveness may not seem fair. Say, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. Well, I have news for you. You don't either. You don't either. You and I deserve the punishment God had planned or has planned for those who don't accept Christ as their Savior. Grace is the only thing that separates any of us. We're not better. We're not worse. We just have grace. And we're to extend that to everyone. Grace, you either have it or you don't. And it's only God's to give. Saving grace. But we can offer what we've received to others. At least tell them about it so they have a choice to make. You know, forgiveness by you is for you. You know, it's not necessarily for the other person, for someone else. You have to forgive yourself. When you forgive other ones, you're really forgiving yourself again for the emotions and things that you've let bottled up and be inside. And forgiveness brings healing to the body, the soul, and the mind. All of those things. And the memories you can create through forgiveness and obedience to God will be ones to hold on to and to share. Those will be the good memories to hang on to. We're going to have an invitation. I want you to go ahead and just close your eyes. And I want you to be in prayer. And she's going to start playing the song softly, and then we'll actually sing the song. But right now, I just want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And why don't you let the Spirit talk to you? Let the Spirit talk to you just to dig deep. Being honest with yourself. What things do we have that we need to hold on to? And what things do we have we need to get rid of? Anything that there might be that's holding you back. from being what God wants you to be, from being who God wants you to be. You think of what would Jesus do? Apply it. Jesus had a lot of people against him. Didn't matter who. Nailed on the cross, it was forgiven, for they know not what they do. Why should we be any different? Nothing's been done to us like it was done to Christ. And he did it for us. I just ask you now, if there's something you need to get rid of, just get rid of it right now. Just give it to him. If you're struggling, tell him, the Holy Spirit, to help you with it. Just to cleanse you from it. Just have him to take it. He's a big God. He can handle it. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you would do all this for us, Lord. The past is the past. We have failings, we have successes. We have good, we have bad. We have training, Lord, you put us through. Experiences that teach us and train us and allow us to move forward to be what you want us to be. Lord, let us not live in the past that you would have us not to deal with, Lord. But the memories we have are the good things. That the past doesn't affect our now, that doesn't affect our future in negative ways towards you or what you would have us to do. Lord, we don't like disappointing our earthly mothers and fathers. We don't like disappointing you either. Lord, help us make the right choices. Help us to see the truth, Lord, when we struggle, when we fail. But Lord, just the burdens that maybe we're holding, Lord, that little part that we've allowed Satan to get a hold of, Lord, we just ask you to take it now. We just ask you to remove it. But Lord, just fill it with the abundant life you want us to have, that you want us to get, the blessings that you want to give us. Lord, I just pray that you, those that have ask you to do that, Lord, that you have taken those away from them right now, Lord. That they feel a peace that only you can give. And made their life better. Lord, we thank you. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.